Chapter 32. Owen.
Owen, are you all right?
I lean heavily against the rough stone wall, giving Yari a weak smile.
Yeah, I reply. I'm good. Just a bit winded. Keep going without me. I'll catch up with you.
The Wastelander gives me a concerned look, but doesn't object. Slowly, as if reluctant to leave me, he continues down the tunnel and disappears from sight. Grimacing, I sink to the floor, my torch my only companion and source of light. Its warmth does little to stave off the cold of the subterranean passage, and I find myself shivering uncontrollably, perspiration beating on my forehead.
"Stay strong, Owen," I murmur, taking deep breaths to steady myself. "You can do this. You must do this."
The fever had started in the middle of the night. The chills and burning sweat made it impossible to sleep, while the aching muscles made it difficult to move. I managed to keep my sickness from Zara, at least while we rested. She fell asleep promptly, the arduous day and her overuse of magic making her more tired than usual. Huddling beneath my blanket, I weathered the night in miserable solitude, resisting the urge to scratch at my burning, itching wound. My mind had been a foggy jumble, and I didn't want to trouble her. Light knows she has enough to worry about right now. In the morning, though, there was little I could do to hide my weakness and my pallid complexion. She looked stricken when she first saw me.
"Owen, you're sick. Please let one of us help you."
"Are any of you healers?" I asked, perhaps more sharply than I'd intended. "Surgeons? Alchemists?"
"No,"
she replied after a pause.
"Then there's nothing you can do."
I'd readied my things, doing my best to appear strong. "We're going to finish scouting these tunnels. Maybe there's an opening somewhere, a weak point. If there is and the demons haven't discovered it yet, then maybe we can use it to escape after you cast your spell."
Zara nodded, still worried, but unable to offer a sufficient argument.
"She loves me more than I deserve," I think, running a hand through my hair. The dizziness is fading, but it still feels like my head is stuffed with cotton. "Stubborn as a ranger. That's a saying, right?" "It should be. I'm too obstinate to let a little fever kill me."
Taking a final breath, I push myself to my feet, ignoring the throbbing agony in my leg. This is the last unexplored tunnel. Once we're finished, we can rest easy, knowing that this mine is truly secure. Limping down the path, I find Yari, Kanik, and Vas waiting in a small chamber littered with mining tools. Their torches reveal a single passage sloping downward on the far side, and a pile of old, termite-eaten planks. The air feels different here, and when I arrive, all three of them regard me strangely.
"What is it?" I ask, making my way to the middle of the room.
"We find something," Voss says, his voice heavily accented. "Down there,"
Connick says, pointing.
Frowning, I follow their lead, taking the narrow tunnel down a few dozen paces. At the end, there's some sort of barrier, slats of wood allowing narrow bands of sunlight into the mine.
A way out.
Lowering my voice, I ask, "Have you checked outside?" All three of them nod.
"And did you see any demons?"
"No,"
Yari replies, shouldering his spear. It's become like another appendage to him, an extension of his arm.
"The way is sealed, but it is very old. It would not take much to break it open."
"A weakness, then," I mutter, my frown deepening.
While such an opening would allow for us to escape, it would also give the Darkhounds an opportunity to gain entry. There are more than 20 tunnels in total inside the mine, a lot of places for demons to hide. I curse under my breath.
"We need to keep an eye on this place. We haven't even been here for a full day yet. I doubt the demons have forgotten about us."
The youths tense nervously, as if anticipating an attack at any moment.
"You remember those planks up there?" I ask. "The wood? Maybe we can use it to make this barrier stronger."
They readily agree. For the next hour, the four of us work on securing the exit as quietly as we can, not wanting to draw any unwanted attention from outside. The Wastelanders work efficiently, hauling planks and tools down from the chamber above and adding supports to the slats already in place. I do my best to keep up, but my dizziness soon returns. Sitting on the floor, I attempt to rest, anguished by my inability to help.
You need to recover your strength, you fool. You won't be able to protect Zara if you're on the verge of passing out.
Watching the others, I lean back against the rough-hewn wall, wrapping my cloak around me to ward off the fever-induced chill. Depression, my old adversary, returns to the dark recesses of my mind, whispering scorn and casting doubts in my tenuous hope of survival. Shaking my head, I blot out the negative voices trying to ensnare my thoughts.
You're going to die here. You know that, right? What sort of ranger allows himself to get wounded with no way to repair himself? You've failed as a protector, as a husband, and Zara's going to spend the rest of her life alone, wondering what could have been.
None of that, I mumble, fighting hard against the despair. I've been fighting this battle my entire life, and I'll be damned if I'm going to let it consume me now. I close my eyes, shoving my hands into my pockets and trying unsuccessfully to get comfortable. Perhaps some rest will help put my mind at ease. My fingers brush against something in one of my pockets, and I crack an eyelid, curious about what seems to be a crumpled piece of paper. Pulling it out, I realize that it's the letter Elias had given me when we'd left Tarsus. After everything that's happened, I'd forgotten it was there. I sit up, suddenly more awake as I unfold the letter, reading the words within.
Owen, I write this letter knowing that I may never see you again. The Rangers have me in their custody and may very well execute me for my ties to the Nightingales. It's a fate that I probably deserve, but I'll do everything I can to prevent it. There are still a few things I can offer this broken kingdom. I wanted to tell you something before the end. There will come a time in your life when you must give yourself to a cause greater than yourself. Perhaps you will be required to lay down your life on the altar of self-sacrifice, to die for something, or someone, worth dying for. Perhaps you will be called to stand alone for something you believe in. In those moments of darkness, remember your training. Remember your oath. Cling to those few things you know are true, and you'll never be led astray. That's what I've tried to do, anyway. I'm not a good man, at least not in the traditional sense of the word. For most of my life, I've been surrounded by lies, some of my own creation, some not. I've tried to do the most good under the circumstances, to live up to my contradictory oaths, but I've failed more often than not. Regardless, there is one thing I know to be true. It is the journey that makes us who we are, not the ending. We are the sum of our choices in this life. What we do while on the path is vastly more important than where we come from, and even where we're going. I love you, Owen, as if you were my own child, and I'm proud of the man you've become. You're the son I never had. Stand firm, serve with all diligence, and one day, whether in this life or the next, we'll have a chance to clasp hands as brothers and rest from our labors. I should like to hear how your story ends, my young friend. Until our next meeting, Elias Keen.
Tears run freely down my cheeks, blurring my vision as I read the letter again and again. The words, written in my master's own hand, are ones I never expected to hear from him, but yearned for all the same. My heart lightens, the depression leaving me like shadows before the rays of the sun. As I ponder the things Elias wrote, a new energy suffuses my body, making me forget all about my aches and pains, my suffering and my doubts. I suddenly feel whole. Folding the paper gently, I place it back in my pocket, sniffing and scrubbing my cheeks to erase the evidence of my weeping. The Wastelanders won't understand. They'll think I'm breaking down from weakness.
Stand firm, the letter had said. Serve with all diligence.
I intend to, I reply softly. Footsteps signal somebody's approach. I look up to see Yari making his way toward my position, his face smudged with dust. He hesitates before speaking, his expression growing unsure as his gaze settles on me.
Owen,
I look at him. Yes?
The Tanon,
he replies, gesturing behind me.
We're almost done.
Good, I answer, grimacing and getting to my feet. I want to see. He's by my side in an instant, putting an arm around my shoulder. I lean on his weight, grateful for his help as I remember everything he and the other Wastelanders have done for Zara and me. He didn't have to come here, I think. He could have remained behind with the rest of his people. Thank you, Yari, I find myself saying. Thank you for everything. You're a true friend, and an honorable bodyguard.
Yari pauses, momentarily taken aback.
Yari, honorable?
Yes, I reply, smiling. Of course. Yari is very honorable. His eyes glisten, and he blinks repeatedly. Grunting, he continues to help me down the path, his head held a little higher, his demeanor brighter than before. The repairs to the tunnel entrance are far from perfect, but they're a definite improvement to what had been there before. The wooden slats, old and brittle, are now braced with the planks we'd found and piles of stone, giving them some semblance of strength. This looks good, I remark, offering each of them a nod of appreciation. Well done. They murmur their thanks, nodding in return. We should probably leave someone to stand guard, I continue, just in case. That way, if any demons do show up, we can have some warning.
I can do this thing, Connick volunteers.
He picks up his spear, gripping it in both hands determinedly. All right, then, I reply. Thank you, Connick. We'll rotate every 3 hours. If you do see anything out of the ordinary, don't engage. We'll all need to work together in order to hold this place. He gives me a salute, placing his spear in a closed fist across his chest.
Yes, war leader.
I look to the other two. Grab as many of these tools as you can and let's head back. I have an idea on what we can do in the meantime. We return to the main chamber as quickly as we can, Yari and Voss staying close beside me despite my sluggish pace. I'm grateful for their presence, their companionship a welcome distraction from the darkness of the tunnels. When we arrive, we find the mages busy with a myriad of different tasks around the source crystal, papers and magical instruments spread out all over the ground. Zara looks up as we emerge from the darkness, a look of relief passing over her. Her hair is pulled back into a messy ponytail, a few stray locks framing her face. Her sleeves are pulled up to her elbows and her robes are smudged with dirt, indicating that she's spent a good deal of time kneeling on the cavern floor.
There you are, she says, striding up to us. I was worried about you. How are you feeling?
Well enough, I lie, plastering on a faulty grin. We found a way out of here.
A way out?
I nod. We did what we could to block it off, and Connick is guarding it for now. Should be easy for us to slip out once you're ready to cast your spell. I look around, eyes settling on the enormous crystal. How's that going, by the way?
We're getting closer,
she says, brushing a strand of hair out of her eyes. We should be ready to start the process later today, if all goes well. Good, I reply, relaxing a little. Then we can finally go home. We stand there for a moment, basking in the soft blue light as the mages continue their work. They shuffle this way and that, taking measurements and jotting things down with ink-stained fingers. Finally, Zara looks back at me.
I can't wait for all of this to be over, she says. It seems like our lives have been made one long nightmare ever since the Emberwood.
It hasn't been all bad, I remark. We've had some good times along the way, haven't we? Her gaze softens.
Yes, she says. Yes, we have.
Wincing, I shift pressure from my bad leg and wrap my arm around her, pulling her close.
You ever think of what we'll do when this is all over? She asks after a moment. After we defeat the R'hllar, I mean. Where do we go from here?
The response comes easily to my mind. I open my mouth to voice it, then stop, unsure about whether I should tell her.
What? She asks, curious. What were you about to say?
Nothing, I reply, shaking my head slightly. She gives me a flat look.
You're not supposed to keep secrets from your wife, you know. Out with it.
I hesitate. I've always had this idea, I guess you can call it a dream or whatever, that I'd go back to my old farmhouse in Edenshire, the place I grew up. I'd patch the roof, repaint the walls, and buy a milk cow or two, maybe some chickens. I can feel my cheeks reddening. This isn't something I was planning to share with her, or anyone for that matter, but I continue anyway. I don't know. It isn't Tarsus, but Edenshire's a nice town. It's quiet, peaceful, the perfect place to raise a family. Zara stares at me a moment, her expression unreadable. Isn't it frowned upon for rangers to start a family? I shrug. Once the demons are gone, there won't be any more use for the rangers. Our oath will be fulfilled, and we'll be free to live our lives. Of course, that is, unless you don't want...
No, she replies, a slight hitch in her voice. I mean, yes, I do. That sounds really nice.
She breaks into a radiant smile, her eyes twinkling.
I think I've had my fill of magic and excitement. I want the farmhouse, the family. You, Owen Lund.
I pull her into a tight embrace and she nestles against my chest. My heart feels full to bursting. All I've ever wanted in the entire world is right here, safe in my arms. After a moment, Zara looks up at me. She touches my forehead and her brows suddenly knit together in concern.
Light, Owen. You're burning up. You should lie down. Otherwise we might have to carry you out of here on a litter.
I'm fine, Zara. Honestly. Never felt better. She takes a step back and arches a skeptical eyebrow. Then she gives me a gentle push. I wobble a little but manage to remain on my feet. See? I told you. Strong as a bull. She rolls her eyes.
Please get some rest. Once we're finished here, we're going to need you to lead us out of here. And I refuse to help carry you.
I give her a rueful grin.
All right, I'll get some rest. You have my word.
She kisses me and departs, going to rejoin the mages in the middle of the cavern. Watching her go, I let out a long breath. There's still so much to do. I walk over to Yari and Voss and motion for them to follow me. I can rest and still be productive, I think, sitting down on a flat stone. Just because I'm sick doesn't mean I have to be idle. Using the old mining tools, we begin setting up traps, tying the sharp bits of metal with lengths of rope to create snares, footholds, and deadfalls at various entry points, just in case the demons manage to get through. It isn't difficult work, but it keeps our hands busy, allowing me to sit while working the tools into lethal weapons. Hours pass, and Voss goes to replace Connick guarding the exit. When Connick comes back, he settles next to Yari, picking up where the other had left off. From what I can see, the mages are getting close to finishing their preparations. Instead of scrawling magical symbols or tinkering with their devices, they sit and discuss who should stand where and which mage should utter which incantation. It all sounds foreign to me, and I find myself shaking my head in bewilderment from the other side of the chamber. How much effort could one spell take, I wonder, cinching a knot around a jagged chisel? A lot, apparently. Why else would they be taking so long? My thoughts drift to Elias and the battle they must be waging back at Tarsus. Are they faring well against the Prince of Darkness and his horde? I certainly hope so. They're the last defense for the people of Tarsinium. If they fall, the entire kingdom falls as well. Movement on the far side of the chamber draws my attention. A figure emerges from the darkness, coming toward us with a slow, shuffling gait. Squinting, I recognize it as Voss. Voss, I ask, perking up, what are you doing here? Your shift isn't over yet. The youth shambles into the main chamber, clutching at his side. His entire front is streaked a dark red. I jump to my feet, aghast. Voss, have the demons broken through? He opens his mouth to reply and lets out a choking, gurgling sound. A fountain of blood pours from his mouth before he collapses. Behind him, red eyes glow in the shadows, a dripping maw of bared white teeth grinning a rictus of triumph. I curse.
Dorkhounds! Everybody! We're under attack!